Good morning. Man, I hope you're having a great time at the conference. Before we get going, as is with all Every Nation traditions, I need to introduce my family to you. I really do have children. And now I have a grandson. I know, I'm way too young, but you know what? I've got a grandson. His name is Tobias. Toby Joel Richie Urban. A little bit of Richie McCaw tucked in there. But anyway, up to the left-hand side is obviously myself in the middle. That was my 50th birthday. And there's my four sons. Four tall kauri trees growing. My wife, Chrissy, whom you know. And then to my far left is my daughter-in-law. Her name is Hannah, and she is with child. This little fellow was incubating inside her tummy, and he was delivered, praise God. So that's my family. Love them heaps. Glad to have four sons. One, now I have a daughter-in-law, and I'm looking forward to more daughters and more grandchildren. The Maori call them makapuna. Can everybody say makapuna? Grandchildren. Praise God. So there we go. And I'm going to meet him on Tuesday. He flies up from Christchurch. So I'm looking forward to that. Fantastic. There we go. That's the family. The party aboard the ship was in full swing. Speeches were being made by the captain. Sitting at the head table was a 70-year-old man who, somewhat embarrassed, was doing his very best to accept all the praise that was being poured upon him. You see, earlier that morning, a young woman had fallen overboard, and within seconds, this elderly gentleman was in the cold, dark waters right at her side. The woman was rescued, and the elderly man became an instant hero. When time finally came for the brave passenger to speak, the stateroom fell into a hush. As he rose to his chair, he went across to the microphone, and in what was probably the shortest hero speech of all time, he spoke these stirring words. I want to know just one thing. Who pushed me? I feel a little bit like that old man this morning, Pastor June. It's my joy to bring the Word of God and to go after an elaborate list of speakers. I mean, Pastor Scott, Pastor Tim, Pastor Jarrett, Roisin, and others. Pastor June was awesome. We're going to hear from Pastor Steve very soon. I have the topic of how next? Where next? Why next? Who next? How next? And how can I bring something together to wrap all that up under a banner of leadership? And I was thinking, and I was contemplating, and I was very aware of the illustrious company we were going to keep. And all I was getting was preacher's block. Has anybody heard of preacher's block? You've heard of writer's block. I'm sure the creatives will understand. And so I decided, I just wasn't getting anything. And so I decided to do something radical, something deeply, deeply spiritual. I prayed. And all I got from God was one word. One word. And the one word was relationship. And of course, then I remembered, you can have vision oozing out of your ears. You can earnestly maintain a personal walk of holiness. You can have inspirational objectives. You can have a colorful chart and a brilliant process where everything's super clear. But if you cannot effectively build relationship face to face, it will never be a reality. Do you understand? It comes back to relationship, whether it's marriage, parenting, dealing with our workmates, that troubled neighbor next door, coaching an 8-year-old rugby team. It's about relationship, ladies and gentlemen, evangelism, leadership. It's relationship. If we can't connect and relate and work through, we're never going to realize the purposes of God for our lives, personally, in our home, and in our ministry. Reminds me of the old saying the old preacher said one time, I love ministry. It's the people I can't stand. You know, a few years ago now, the Lord, not long after really becoming a disciple of Christ, the Lord put in my heart a real desire and a vision to reach men. Men in our nation generally are passive, certainly spiritually. And I remember going to my pastor at the time, it wasn't Morningstar, and I was busting with this passion to reach men. Now then I was in my 20s, most men were older than me, but I never let that hold me back. And I just cast vision to the pastor, good man, godly man. He said, Richard, that's fantastic, let's do it. It's just one thing. Last week, another man came and saw me and cast vision for a men's ministry. So why don't you pair up with him? And I said, great, let's do it, Pastor Bruce. Okay, what's his name? And he went, Fred. Now, his name's not Fred for fear that it might go out public because we're in my city. He mentioned his real name, but this guy was the uncoolest, nerdiest guy you could find in our church. This is before being a nerd was cool. He was what I pictured to be like an Old Testament prophet, sort of socially awkward, weird. He wore his pants right up here somewhere. I was going to demonstrate that, but we're not going to do that this morning. Honestly, right up here, he had his top button done up. Once again, back then, top buttons weren't cool. Now it's all the rage. I've got a fat neck, I can't do it. But back then, trust me, all you hip guys, top button done up, pants right up here, hair slicked back, and he rocked backwards and forwards all through worship. And then he got a tissue out like this. He was weird. And Pastor Bruce said, get with him, get the ministry going. I said, no way. I didn't say that actually, but inside I'm thinking, that dude cramps my style. He's not good for my reputation. Honestly, I sit on the other side of the room. True, sweetheart, he was odd. Had about 7 kids and lived in a caravan. Just kind of like, just one of those people, you know? I thought, well, the pastor knows best. So I began to meet with Fred. I so want to say his name. But even I am getting a little bit wiser in my old age. And I built with this guy, and he was just, I mean, he was white, he spoke English, but he was from another country, I mean, another planet. This was cross-cultural in every sense of the word. And we prayed. Out of sheer strategic, just I was told to do it, so we did it. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we built, and we built, and we built, and we built a great friendship. Prayer is actually one of the secrets to building intimacy. You pray together, you build relationship together. I learned to love. I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't just go with my tribe, my people, my language, my humor, my groove. Face to face, learning to build a relationship. The lifeblood of missions has always been through contagious relationships. Did you know that? Jesus recruited his band of disciples through relational networks. It was John the Baptist, Jesus' relative, who first connected Jesus to Andrew. Andrew went and found his brother Simon Peter to tell him he had met the Messiah. Jesus called Philip. Philip recruited Nathanael, James, and John, who were fishermen together with Peter and Andrew. Do you get the idea? Soon after, Levi became a disciple. Jesus and the 12 were hanging out at Levi's pad with sinners and tax collectors, having a banquet. Jesus always try to work through relational networks. What about the rise of Christianity? Rodney Stark asked this question: how does a tiny, obscure messianic movement from the edge of the Roman Empire dislodge classical paganism and become the dominant faith in the Western civilization? Answer is simple: through contagious relationships. 7 weeks after the death and resurrection of Christ, there are 120 people. The Holy Spirit comes. Hundreds becomes thousands on just one day. 66 AD, around 40,000 followers of Christ. A few years later, at the end of the first century, about 100,000 followers of Christ. By 300 AD, ladies and gentlemen, 6 million followers of Jesus Christ. It's all relationship. It grew fast and it grew furious without a centralized organization. It was ordinary people on fire with God, in love with Jesus Christ, who simply told the story of God, that God impacted their life to their friends and their family and their acquaintances. And I want to say today, why can't that happen again in Australia, in Fiji, in Papua New Guinea, in Samoa, in Tonga, in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and all the islands of the South Pacific, Guam, Micronesia, across? Why can't that happen again? What are you and I waiting for? You have a story. I have a story. We can tell other people. Not wait for some kind of central impetus to drive that, but simply be compelled by the love of God. People are desperate. People are desperate for true human connection. True human community. The upside of all our dysfunction and our confusion and our brokenness and the nuclear family being destroyed in our lands, surely that presents a wonderful opportunity for spiritual families. Surely that provides an opportunity to connect with people. I remember meeting my son and the Lord, Palini Jr. Chuling. Many of you will know him. I still remember he'd fathered a child, and we had Marissa. It was Marissa and PJ here this morning. They possibly can't make. Just give us a wave. Marissa gave a heart. Hey, Marissa. Marissa gave a heart to the Lord. She laid down the relationship, single mum, her son Damien in our church. And she came to our home. And I learned through conversation that the father of Damien was sitting up in the car in our cul-de-sac. And he was up there, and I thought, this is not good. I just naturally jumped out. Walked up the driveway, and I think all the brothers in here and the sisters will understand that he's lying back just chilling, killing time, because he's not down. He doesn't want to be a part of that. And do, 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 do on the window. And, hey, brother, good to see you, man. And I just introduced myself, and I invited, would you come? Oh, no. You know, the old thing. No. And I just, come on down. We've got some food. You see, food always works for the brothers. And come on down. We've got some food. Beginning to build with PJ. PJ's not really that long in New Zealand from the island. He's pretty fresh. Local language, Pastor Steve. And we began to build, and sometime later, there he is. Sometime later, we had our Easter production. And the time came for the altar call, and his son, 6 or 7, led him to the altar. On medication, messed up, a life of alcohol and promiscuity, anything, offering anything but stability and faithfulness to the mother of his son. We began to meet and we began to talk, and there's every reason why that shouldn't work. The age gap, the cultural distance, the economical, socioeconomic gap. But we met. I pursued him and we did discipleship, so many stories, but here's what I want to say about this. Going through discipleship, we pursued relationship despite the differences. And I'm really proud of PJ because he eventually came and lived in my home. You can't get much more discipleship than that, can you? And if you understand the Auckland scene, the North Shore was one thing, right? And then it's a European family, and then you got the pastor. And all the Pacific Islanders will understand why that would not be a comfortable situation. And we built, and we learned, and we have grown to love each other very, very deeply because of relationship. He didn't need just another system, another process. Forms are powerful. We got them. You need to have them. They're actually essential. But there's got to be some power there, and there's got to be the heart for people, the heart to build relationship. And I had the joy of baptizing him and then marrying him just last year. Sorry, I didn't marry him. I was officiating the marriage. And then watching PJ in the haka the other night and his wife, and dedicating his son to the Lord at the wedding. You can't get better than that. Relationship. It's always been about relationships, people. The Ten Commandments is about us and God and us and people. 44%, they say, of the epistles is all about getting on with people. You see, God created man for relationship. God redeemed man for relationship. God sent the Holy Spirit for relationship. Jesus is coming back because of relationship. I have just one point. All that was kind of introduction stuff. I've got one thing I want you to know, one thing I want you to do, want us to know and us to do. Let's open up in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through to 8. Then I make my one point, and then we say amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8. I've got it up on the screen, I believe. Yes, we've got it right there. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Now here comes once again the example of Christ. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he has not done himself. Here is the example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Here's my one point. I want to encourage us this morning to live all of our relationships under the shadow of the cross. Let me repeat that. The one point I want to make today is to encourage you and myself to bring all relationships, regardless, saved or unsaved, all relationships, parenting, ministry, every relationship, to bring it under the shadow, the long and stately shadow of the cross, whether it's in our home, in our evangelism, or our church family. You see, the cross reminds us of real love for you and for that difficult person that you're trying to get on with. The cross reminds us of genuine humility. The cross reminds us of true leadership, serving people. The cross reminds us of forgiveness. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Every relationship needs forgiveness. The cross unifies. The cross nullifies. It nullifies elitism. It nullifies independence. The cross lights the way to maturity. It's the cross, whether I'm engaging with someone, whether I'm parenting and solving a conflict, whether I'm working through something with my staff, whether I'm needing to bring correction, whatever the level, surely, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk to people, as we work together, even in the region, amongst churches, within churches, can we not always have the cross in our peripheral vision? That would disarm many of our arguments and our attitudes, bringing in and delivering a right heart and an incorruptible heart and a mature and a humble heart. I hope and pray that we all can allow the cross, the shadow of the cross, the perspective of the cross, to cast itself over all of our relationships. In my closing few minutes, I want to drill down, zoom down to us, Oceania. Much of what I've spoken of, missions, is outside the church, but can we look at us, our churches, our relationships? Isn't it so easy to be misunderstood? Sometimes words are just a hopeless tool to communicate what we're trying to say. We need to guard our relationships amongst pastors, amongst churches, within churches. This is critical to working collaboratively. This is critical to raising up the who next. This is critical to consult and dialogue about where next. This is critical to what next. Us, every nation, Oceania. Need to protect our relationships. We're going to shut out the enemy, believe the best, and do what PJ and I did and step out of our comfort zone. So you may be cool with relationships within your own tribe, but I want to ask you this question. How good are you at building relationships cross-culturally? More and more and more, this question is being asked. There might not be too many communities and nations and cities, I believe they will be reducing, who might be monocultural. More and more and more. I have a Zimbabwe, South African neighbor this side, Iraqi, Kiwi, Korean, Chinese, Indian, Tongan right next door. And there's only 12 houses, I think, in the street. Can we go across to the neighbor? Can we go across the aisle at church? How effective are you? Can we go across into our own churches? Can we do that? If we don't cross this and somehow do this good, that's poor English, I know, but it worked. Because when you get those little, you know, those little elephants in the room, and but then we just kind of do what's happening in our hood. But we're never going to take the nations if we just do our thing. We've got to, Australia, New Zealand, South Island, North Island, the islands, we've got to figure this out. How do we do relationship really well? The world is crying out for us to be a good example. Cross-culturally. I don't know why God has brought this incredible fruit salad of a church into my world. I think culturally I'm one of the bluntest instruments there are. But somehow we've got this beautiful mix and I love it. Do you? Let the cross. I think it evens everything out. Socioeconomic differences, cultural differences, color, creed, it evens everything out. We're all on our knees before that beautiful cross. And as we gaze upon Christ and what he did, it like a river, grace, love, forgiveness, truth, humility. Can I pray? Father, we come to you as broken vessels, products of relationship, good, bad, and ugly. We have you, Holy Spirit, living in our heart. And as we grow and mature, I pray that, Lord, our hearts would remain tender, gracious, and kind. And that we'd fight for relationship, and we would protect relationship, and we'd believe the best, and we would do what you told us to do in your word. Thank you, Jesus, once again for the example and your life on the cross and all that it represented, if it's even possible to comprehend that. Lord, I just pray. I wish I could almost give everybody a little cross, and every time they engage people, that little cross would just be standing in the peripheral vision. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we could all be mindful at a leadership level, at parenting, every right through the spectrum of relationship, that we would always be mindful of the cross. That we would defer to one another, serve one another, love one another, speak highly of one another, believe in one another, encourage one another. No one in this room is good enough or big enough or bright enough or rich enough to do it on their own. But collectively, God, we can see a mighty proliferation of churches and campus ministries. Help us, we pray. In your precious name I ask. Amen.